Okay.
Already started.
We'll be out of here in 5 minutes if you don't ask questions.
Well.
It's only one of.
1, 2, 3. Good evening. Today is June the 10th, 2013, and the time is.
What? I can't hear
you. Oh, sorry. Hello. Good evening. The time is 8:34, and today is June the 10th, 2013. And this is a policy instruction personnel student services committee meeting. Carlos, would you please call roll?
Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Ms. Mendoza?
And she called and said she was sick.
Yes.
Ms. Quintana?
Here.
And Ms. Lori is here as a board member today. And the first agenda item, please.
Item 2A, job descriptions. Ms. Carrasco?
Good evening, Madam Chair, committee members, Ms. Searles. I have this evening bringing forth for consideration and recommendation for approval to the board 3 job descriptions. One of them being the governmental relations coordinator. We went ahead and changed the pay grade on this position to an AP2, which means that range is from 49,940, midpoint is 59,454, and maximum is 68,967. Everything else should be as we discussed, the changes that we've been doing to this job description as we have. The only change that we're going to do on here also that is not noted would be a master's preferred, and then we'll change it to a bachelor's degree.
Any questions? Ms. Searles?
Madam Chair, I do. Ms. Carrasco, I see lacking in this description. Under the primary purpose, you do have the strategic planning process. But I'm not seeing anything in the rest to reflect that this person would work with our city and county with planning, with departments and codes of the city for planning, and working with industry to come bring industry into our district.
I can go ahead and
if you could kind of modify and add those.
Modify that, because I do have under the major responsibilities number 4, which is attend regular governmental meetings and report those findings to the superintendent and the trustees. Number five, know which resources are available to the district and the community in relations to education, governmental program and funding. So you want something
maybe just a little clarity that, you know, you're going to have to work with the city. We care about how our district looks, and this is my thought process.
Okay.
We care about how our district looks, and we want it to look good. So this person needs to work with city planning so that we don't just have, you know, homes everywhere, no businesses. It needs to be coordinated to the city's planning department somehow. And I also, I have to tell you, I look at this and think, you know, if I wasn't sitting on this board, I'd love to have a job like this. But there's one problem, bilingual. And I couldn't be the bilingual person. And so I would move on, and I think we're gonna lose candidates by having bilingual. I think that if the candidates that come in and apply for the job are bilingual, you got a bonus or you have a check. But it seems almost
the bilingual is preferred.
It is preferred, but I'd see that and think, well, you know, I'm out. And when I think of what the description is, you're going to be talking to governmental, you're not really talking to parents a whole lot. You're going to be talking to people who obviously are going to be speaking English.
So I'll remove that.
With the committees, you know, I could never apply for this. Well, I'm not going to apply for it anyhow, but you know what I'm saying. But
you're bilingual, Ms. Moore.
Yeah, I was
going to
say
that. You're not supposed to tell anybody. But concept is there that, you know, if we're cutting someone out, that might be just awesome because they don't feel competent to speak in this and look at that and think, well, that's, you know, it's not going to be me. I would hate to lose good candidates because we had preferred. It would seem to me as though if it weren't there, if you were bilingual and you wrote that in your resume, that would just be a, you know, an ace in your hand instead of, you know, culling people for not having a skill that I don't know would be terribly detrimental.
I can go ahead and remove that.
Hold on. That's what I was going to say. When you put preferred, you don't eliminate someone just because
no.
you put that in there.
No, which means that, you know, we would consider somebody that is not bilingual, but that just shows as preferred. I mean, somebody that can speak both languages fluently, to me, well, it's a plus.
Sure it is.
You know, when you have to talk to
absolute
the media,
plus.
You have to talk before.
But it's not like we're lacking anyone in this district who couldn't step in and translate, or in those few instances, be the bilingual person. Or if you get an Oriental person and they speak Japanese and they say English, Spanish. Well, shoot, I'm bilingual, but, you know, that's not going to do it for me. I feel like it's limiting us is all that I'm saying, that possibly we can get a larger candidate pool by not singling out that's preferred. Does that make sense?
It does, Ms. Laurie, but
I see your side. I understand, and I understand preferred, but there's that other side that you see it. I think I'm not bilingual, because bilingual should mean you read, write, and speak. And there are other people who, well, I can speak it, but shoot, I can't read it or write it. And so does that make me, you know, go the other way and not want to have this job or not apply for the job because I feel as though I'm not meeting the qualifications? Dr. Galavish, you're looking. Do you have any thought? Do you think I'm being too broad?
No, because people read it and may, and it could be a very high quality person that is not by the
That's
doesn't
what
have the permission that, or that the permission the requirements of working there. Go ahead, ma'am.
What if it were working?
Maybe.
That could be a suggestion.
Like say, for instance, bilingual English, Spanish preferred, but not.
Not required. Well,
but
it's the same
required.
Thing.
Necessary or.
Yeah that would
not
be
required.
Good. Yeah.
Something that gives them the indication that.
That you can apply. You can do it.
Can
but it's still
in.
There.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm good with that.
Not required. So someone that has the aspiration to say, hey, I'm going to get that.
Is that okay?
Good.
Now, as far as the pay grade, we're looking at an AP2, which starts at the 49,940. We could also look at an AP3 at 56, starting 432. So, whatever it is that you want to do is with the AP2 or the AP3.
I have a suggestion. What if we leave it as is, and again, if it merits, at the next school year, depending on how, even how they do,
we can
evaluate them.
And we'll consider.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
We can have the full scope of the work and you know what's been done. And when TASB comes in and does our maintenance, we have them evaluate that.
Those were my only comments.
Yeah, you have something to say, Mr. Rodriguez?
So. Just real quick, you were saying that, in other words, put it on, and then if we don't get a good pullback.
Well, and we could come and rerun to do another review, revision to it.
But
I mean, if we hire someone at that pay grade, and they merit a pay grade, it's easier for us to increase them than.
And the other thing, just the question I have is. It talks about 3 years experience in public relations. preferred. So let's say if somebody coming out of state legislature with maybe a year or 2 years, it's just a preference, right? So
maybe that be not required to.
Yeah.
Same as the bilingual.
What would be the qualifications? Let's say if I came out of state legislature.
Are you talking about wanting? I mean, somebody with some experience in the field, or are you talking zero experience right out of college?
No, well, I'm talking about, I've had some experience. This is what my job is when it comes to the Association of Realtors, and I didn't have no exact, job that required me to provide that, but I had no grasp of whether it was running campaigns or understanding state law, federal law, the ability and network and that, and,
I see it both ways. I mean, are we going to allow HR to, they can screen the applicants. Are we going to allow them to just, if they screen them, anyone can be interviewed, and then it's going to be up to the committee, to the interviewing committee to say yes or no, A or nay, or?
Well, it's up to them.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is you're going to have a list of applicants, and so this is preferred. So if somebody came out, maybe they did some internships in college, and they worked on, at the Capitol. Let's say if they were from UT, right, and they worked at the Capitol. And so I'm just saying somebody that understands it and can run with this is more critical. And of course, it's up to the committee to decide who the best candidate is.
Exactly.
So.
We can leave this. It's a preferred requirement.
It's open, right?
So
yeah, it's open.
When you talk about those examples that you just mentioned, that certainly would come into the realm as counting towards that experience.
Okay. That's
all I had. Any other question? Okay. We recommend it to the full board. Committee? Do you have anything? Okay,
with the changes.
Yeah, with the recommended changes.
Yes.
Right now. Okay.
We'll have that ready for.
Right. Next agenda item, Carlos.
Well, I still need.
Oh, the career. Are you done?
Career technology education director.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And basically, what we've done here is that we're upgrading our coordinator position to a director level position, and so we're moving that to an AP6. So what we're going to do, we currently have the position posted. We will go ahead and, once this gets approved through the board, we will go ahead and just revise the posting to Career and Technology Education Director.
Okay. Any questions? No? Okay. Recommended to the full board then.
Then we've got the last risk management and workers' compensation coordinator. Currently, we are making a recommendation to upgrade this position also to an AP4. Given the fact that there is going to be added responsibilities in the area of security and some supervisory duties on this, Mr. Gonzalez will be here to update you and give you an update, a brief update on where we are with that and what the plans are for the coming school year as far as growing this department. And for that work, we are proposing an AP4, which is what's on here, or we can do an AP5 on that.
Okay, any questions? I feel comfortable to
take it as is.
Yeah, as is recommended to the full board.
And then
AP4. Yes, an AP4. Okay. Thank you. Carla, next agenda item, please.
Item 2B, health insurance rates, proposed increase in funding for 2014 plan year. Mr. Carmona.
Just, can I go back to the career technology?
No.
Could we change the title to career and college readiness, career readiness director.
Which one, Dr. Cuddles?
Like career and technology.
Career readiness and compass.
Oh,
career readiness director.
Okay. Career readiness director.
I think we have a college readiness position at the high school.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We do.
This is a director, though.
Okay, but it is a coordinator. Isn't that person a coordinator?
What? You want career readiness?
What about the one at the high school? What's her title?
It's college readiness.
But what is
but
it?
It's a counselor, isn't it?
I think
it's a counselor.
Is it?
I think it is a counselor.
No,
that's what I understood.
College readiness? There's a counselor.
It's a counselor.
Something like that. Coordinator. The only thing that I wanted to mention on is that the current position, CTE coordinator, is fully funded through the CTE program. And so just based on if the guidelines or responsibilities changed on this job description, the funding would also have to be modified.
Mm-hmm.
Because
or are you thinking of a more current?
I guess just as long as we ensure that we follow the career technological program or
yeah, well, we're going to follow. We're just saying.
How does this affect that position at the high school? I mean, can you confirm what position it is?
Actually, the duties are very different. I mean, we're not talking about the same type of duties. That one is on the instructional side. The college readiness is, you know, preparing students.
But they don't overlap. I know what you're saying. They don't overlap.
Not
but is that a coordinator?
Not with these duties here that we have for CTE. This is totally on the CTE path.
Mm-hmm.
It is not. I guess it just to me with the readiness that we
yeah,
we
because
that
position exists. And it was recently created.
So you want career readiness director?
But you're missing that you're worried that. Mm-hmm. That they're off the funding, or
right? It's just the career and technological program is very, you know, detailed and outlined for a specific program, and so being a director, based on the funding that program gets, it makes sense for the responsibilities. But when you throw in college readiness, it's a different path, and so that's
okay.
Where my concern.
All right, so we'll stand with career and technology.
Yeah.
So we should leave it as is? Okay, Carla, leave it as is, the recommendation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. Thank you both, Martha. Okay, next agenda item, please. Thank you,
item
Dr. Alavis.
Health insurance rates, proposed increase for funding year 2014. Mr. Carmona.
Good evening, Madam Chair, committee members, Dr. Alavis. If I'm not mistaken, we have a copy of the memo that was added to the packet. And in the packet, there's a copy of a PowerPoint. Just quickly, I'll review the PowerPoint so you can see where we're coming from in terms of how we determine that the funding is necessary for plan year 2014. We'll see an expense forecast and recommended funding. The first slide shows the number of people that are currently enrolled in any or each of the available plan options. Those would include the premium, the standard, the basic, the consumer-driven health plan, and the hospital indemnity plan. Currently, the majority of our population or our employees are enrolled in the standard option. The following slide is in regard to the forecasting. You might remember that in plan year 2011, the board approved to extend the plan year into a short year, meaning our plan year used to run from September 1st to August 31st. Then the short year was extended from September 1st to December 31st to allow for the plan to run through concurrent to the calendar year. So our plan year nowadays runs from January 1st through December 31st. As a result, we see that as a result of the approval, employees were not required to meet an additional deductible for that short year. So the fund has been somewhat depleted. The reserve of the fund has been somewhat depleted. So the numbers in the forecast for plan year 2013, because of the number of funds available, there was no requirement in terms of making changes or increasing premiums. The forecast for plan year 2014 shows that our fund, the reserve, will be short by around $400,000. So I'll go ahead and read down the forecast for your plan year 2014. And how we analyze the data is we're looking at a 12-month period, April 2012 through March 2013. Looking at, we have around 1,300 active plan members between employees and covered family dependents. We're looking at the total projected operating cost and revenue charge would be around $6.9 million. Our projected reserve or beginning reserve should be at $1.2 million. The estimated ending reserve balance will be $869,000, short $419,000. That between the two will bring us up to the minimum target reserve that will keep a healthy balance. As you are well aware, we're self-funded. So for the size of the group, based on utilization and the cost of healthcare at this point, we're estimating that we should increase our premiums at 8.15%. So how does that translate into money? How does this affect the school district and the employees? The following slide shows you the current monthly rate, what the school district is contributing per employee, per eligible employee, which is 378. If the increase is approved, the 8.15%, that would mean that the contribution will be increased by $31 on a monthly basis, bringing the total to 409. We'll review the first option, the consumer-driven plan. If you look at the current semi-monthly deduction versus the January 1, 2014 semi-monthly deduction for employee only, currently is zero. For plan year 2014, they'll remain the same, zero. Employee and spouse, 166, will increase to 179.50. Employee and children, 106 to 114.50. Employee and family, 272 to 294. In essence, the increase, what we're looking at is from zero up to possibly $34 on a semi-monthly basis. Does the committee have any questions at this point? So again, the recommendation from the administration is to recommend to the full board to approve the 8.15% increase in premiums.
To the district, not to the employee?
Both. If you look at the rate sheet, the increase for the school district will be $31 on a monthly basis. Depending on what option the employee chooses for plan year 2014, there may or may not be an increase. I'll give you an example. If you choose a basic option, and you have coverage for employee only, currently you pay zero on a semi-monthly basis. For plan year 2014, it will remain the same. It will be zero. So it all depends on what option.
Which is the one most everybody takes, if I remember correctly.
That is correct. Okay.
Mario,
yes.
I just want to clarify, is it a 4% increase to the employee and 4% increase to the district, or an 8% to the employee and an 8% to the district?
It's an 8.15% to the district and 8.1% to the employee.
So it's an increase of 16% overall, because I believe the calculations we had initially were, we were going to split the 8% increase, 4% to the employee and 4% to the district.
Yeah, no, it's not looked at as, that's a double, 16%. So it's, depending on the rate that you're looking at, it's 8.15 regardless. So, and again, people that are paying zero, there is no increase, it'll remain at zero. People that are paying $17.50 right now will go up to $19. So it's a $1.5 increase.
I'll just have to tweak my presentation because I was under the impression it was a a 4% increase to the district only, that we were going to split the increase.
The cost, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any questions? No? Okay.
Any questions, no questions?
No.
No?
Okay, will you agree to recommend it to the full board?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I think it's so awesome that we still, what a wonderful thing that we're able to do this for our employees.
Absolutely, especially when you compare our rates to other school districts in the service area.
Stop it.
And not only the rate, but the coverage.
The level of coverage, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, it is an excellent plan, that's why I'm saying stop it. It is, this is a great plan that the district is offering to.
And I can tell you that, based on feedback that I have received from employees, they're very happy with the rates. Of course, because they see what other districts are experiencing.
Thank you, Mario. And we can attest to that, so, yes. Thank you. Next agenda item, please.
Item 2C, extension of second and last two-year renewal term allowed by consulting services agreement with HUB International Insurance Services, formerly JBW Insurance, presenter Mr. Carmona.
Okay, this item is in regard to the benefit services or consulting services that the school district currently has with JBW Insurance, now known as UP International Services. And the original agreement was for 3 years with two renewal terms for 2 years each. At this point, the board has approved one of the two renewal terms allowed under this service agreement. That will be expiring August 31st of the current year. The second term, if recommended and of course approved, will start as of September 1st of 2013 and will conclude on August 31st of 2015. We have had a good working relationship with JBW Insurance. We have been able to expedite many of the processes and steps that we need to follow as a self-insured plan, such as healthcare reform and making sure that we meet all the guidelines and so on and so forth. So again, the recommendation from administration is to recommend to the board to continue or agree to a renewal term of the 2 year.
Okay, any questions? Okay, recommend it to the full board.
Thank you.
Questions? Thank you. Next agenda item, please.
Item D, submission of grants. Ms. Zuniga.
Recommend it to the full board. Just kidding. Go ahead.
Good evening, members of the committee. If I may, I just want to give you a quick update regarding sequestration. I'm sure you have all heard of that, but I'll give you a full report next month. The applications just became available for the formula grants for the NICOLE, that includes Title I, Title III, the Migrant, Title II, which is Professional Development, Special Ed, and Perkins. And based on the numbers that we are going to be getting, we were expecting an up to 10% cut. It looks like overall it's going to be at 5%. But that's $200,000 over last year. And some of the programs, it just ranges. But it looks like we have enough carryover this year to be able to offset that shortage for next year. But that may not be the case the year after that. Okay? So now in front of you, you have a couple grant submissions. One of them is for our ARSPR. That's $10,000 that we were invited to propose. And these funds are going to be directed to three elementary schools. And based on the needs assessment, they've had a lot of technology come in, and they're proposing, this was coordinated through Ms. Judy Jimenez at CNI, they're proposing, and through technology as well, tablets for the science labs at these three different elementaries to be able to integrate them into instruction. And we've been, over the last 3 years, we've received grants for smart boards, document cameras, at both of those at the high school and middle schools. And then last year for computers on wheels and for also for the science labs. for the science and math curriculum. And for this next year, we're proposing for tablets. And the second grant is the professional development opportunity. It's basically to pay for travel expenditures to be able to have the opportunity to engage and learn about innovative products related to building and construction. If you notice, right now it's just for one applicant. However, you can choose, if you'd like to add additional people, I can submit an application for other people. Last year, we received two awards, actually, for two applicants. But right now, it's just Mr. Gatlin as a purchasing agent for consideration.
For him to travel, or?
Right, to attend that professional development opportunity.
Who has traveled in the past?
It was Mr. Gatlin and Ms. Matthews.
Jennifer Matthews?
Yes.
And if he has traveled before, why does he need to travel again?
I'm sorry?
If he has traveled before, why does he need to travel again?
He feels like, I guess, with the additional construction and the bond projects, there is opportunities for innovative solutions.
Update?
For updates.
Okay. Any questions?
Okay. Did you want to consider another applicant for this?
No, I mean, I'm just asking.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
You're
that grant writer, so.
In addition to?
Did you want the new executive director?
Sure. We would. Do you have to provide a name now?
Yes. Yes. It has to be submitted by June 28th.
A name or could it?
Yes, a name.
You couldn't say a role?
Well, I think last year we were able to. It was actually for Dr. Murphy, and we were able to transfer it to Ms. Matthews. So yes, we could say put in another name, and then.
Can we use your name, Dr. Galaviz, and then?
Okay. Good.
Okay. Any other suggestions? No. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion to approve. No, not motion to approve. I'm sorry. Recommend to the free board. Aye. Recommend to the full board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Senior. Next agenda item, please.
Item 2E, security update, Mr. Gonzalez.
That's funny.
Good evening, Ms. Gonzalez, Select Chairperson.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for giving the opportunity to be very briefly give you an update on what we did over there at SLEDA and PISD. Mr. Sergio Coronado and Tony Flores accompanied me to SLEDA and also to EPISD, so police department. They gave us an opportunity to look at how a security force works versus a police force. Our discussion afterwards was that Mr. Coronado was pushing or suggesting we call it security force and modeled after SLEDA's security force. On this second page, you see a diagram basically, and I'm gonna go over it real quickly, that says that SLEDA spent about $220,000 to set up 600 cameras. They have a staff of 82 members. They do 24-hour security service. They also, all their cameras are digital with infrared. They're able to detect and cover all the exteriors of all of their campuses as well as all the facilities. And in relationship to EPISD, they have 900 cameras, 43 police officers, and they cover all their campuses, but only on a reactive standpoint. If something happens, they respond. With SLEDA, they are proactive. In other words, they can identify a person that comes on campus with their camera system and gives them an opportunity to be there before the police department are called, basically. Two big differences is that SLEDA reports to the superintendent, and at EPISD, they report to an associate superintendent. The chief of police basically said at EPISD, the chief of police said that it was very, very cumbersome because they had to go through steps to get to get things done. Also, the EPISD police force, they said they do not work on disciplinary action. If there's a someone is cheating on their time clock or not working when they're supposed to be working, they don't respond at all.
Who's that?
The police force, EPISD.
Yeah, that's
but
not
it's
their
spelled
job.
Well, because
but
it's
that's not their job.
Their statement was that they are there for law enforcement and not for disciplinary action. So that's a mentality that the two different have.
I don't agree. I don't agree with the security watching time clocks a lot.
Well, no, I'm saying this, that EPISD says that they're only there for, they're police officers and they're only there for law enforcement. The security officers will respond to, let's say, disturbance or something like that, that not necessarily has to do with law breaking the law, but maybe some unruly child or something like that, but where EPISD will not. That was a big difference. In the second few other pages here, I've got another diagram. This is basically for information on what I believe would be the time frames as well as the estimated costs. And is this more of an information meeting for you, basically telling what might be coming on down the road? I'll be presenting some of that stuff later on to the personnel committee and all that kind of stuff, requesting some officers. But if it's fully staffed, fully working, we need to know whether or not you want to operate on a 24-hour basis, or do you want to do a, like evening or daytime, things like that. If we want to go full 24 hours, we're probably need about 13 officers total. And that's, we can grow as we go along. Because you have three different shifts at these five campuses. So that's 15.
Real quick, I'm looking at, they have 64 campuses plus 20. So addition, there's 84 campuses that are being monitored.
Yes, sir.
And we have what, nine?
We have nine plus three, basically.
Three, so 12. So their ratio is 84 campuses costing $220,000.
Yes, sir. And the EPISD said it cost them $2 million.
So our 12 campuses cost us, is that a fair ratio?
Yes, sir. It's a. I've got a call right now, and the biggest cost would be the monitoring system, and that's besides the personnel. The monitoring system, it's estimated right now to be about $340 per camera.
And what was that about the $220,000?
That's how much YISD paid for to set up their infrastructure, like the cameras and the operating system.
How does that, how about the ones at the high school? How?
The ones at the high school,
are those going to be, are you planning to eventually replace those?
No, those cameras are okay. They can be incorporated with our stuff. They just need to be monitored in a different way.
Okay.
Also incorporating the ones we have at Garcia,
right,
and the ones we have here, they can be used the same thing we have right now. So this would be, we're looking at about 10 cameras, roughly 10 cameras per campus total. You know, except for the high school. High school's got a lot more because they've got more space.
So if we have $200,000, do we have enough to purchase those cameras?
We looked at Tony in Florida is getting the quotes for us right now for the cameras and all that. And his estimate is that yes, we should be with about 90,000. We should be.
That's great. Miss Rachel,
I still think 13 officers is a lot.
I think
it's
absolutely
not there at this time. I think
outrageous.
We're not there yet.
We have to We have to make better use of the people we have right now.
Absolutely, and that's what I said. When we finally get fully staffed. Like maybe 3 years from now, 2 years from now, we'll put about 13 officers. Right now, I would be recommending it actually would be like having two more right now for this coming year.
Good question. Have you ever thought of SRO plus hall monitors?
We did look at the SRO program, and basically what they told us is that they are there for show only, and they don't get involved in the day-to-day operations.
There's a whole program for a school resource officer. The concept is community policing, which is the training, which is really to develop a relationship with children
and
students.
Yes, sir. And we looked at that previously, and it was not really, they did away with our entire program here in El Paso because of the funding. And they said we could hire an SRO, but we'd have to pay all of their benefits and pay all of their salary and everything. And so it was kind of put up the side for us to look internally instead of our own internal service. We do have a comment by the, I forget his last name, Arazia, Chief Arazia from.
Araiza.
Yes, Araiza. Thank you. He made an offer saying that we could kind of lease a police officer from him at the going rate, which is $39,000 a year plus all the benefits.
And Chair, I was told that, and you can check into this, the Anthony Police, if you get arrested, SRO officers, they do more than just show. And they're at a cheaper price, so you might just check with them.
Yeah, I'll check with
them.
To
see what's available.
Yeah, I did not check.
Because we just can't just lock ourselves into one situation.
Yes, ma'am.
Look around.
I'll definitely check into that, because I only spoke to them about the intruder, but I didn't speak to them about the SRO service. Okay. But like I said, initially we're looking at, I'm going to be asking the other committees and stuff like that. Starasco for at least probably two more during this next school year, and we'll go from there. Two more officers, one for night and one for night at the high school, and then maybe another over, and then we can probably do for the entire year that way.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that you don't need him, but remember that what we discussed earlier, that so once we have our.
Yes, ma'am. And I do plan to make some comments over there. I am waiting also to get a formal letter or something from someone, from Dr. Alibis or the board or someone, saying this is your responsibility now. As soon as I can get that authorization, I'll go over there and take care of the stuff that's at the high school for sure. But right now it's kind of they don't know who to report it to.
Well, and that was part of the discussion tonight, the job description. Something that Dr. Galavis has to discuss with HR once the board approves it.
Yes, ma'am.
It's being recommended to the full board for next board meeting.
All right. Hey, and timeline is just out there.
So in other words, you have the authority to go over there and talk to those individuals at times.
Okay. I forget. This is on start with that problem tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. The timeline down there is just an idea of when these things could happen. But if we go with the infrastructure and starting the monitors and the program in place, then we're gonna need someone to monitor.
Well, bring us a quote, bring us whatever you need to go through purchasing or do whatever you have to do.
Okay.
And we'll move forward from there.
All right. This is just basically the information.
Right. Any more questions? Any more, Dr. Valdez?
I just did a rough estimate. Given that ratio, 84 to 220,000, or 12, I got 31,000 just based on these numbers. So, again, very rough estimate.
I've got a call into the program manager. It's called the Ocularis, and I've got a call into them. If they could give me a ballpark figure of what it would cost us also.
Is that the same company that
is that is using?
Islam?
Yes, sir. That's the one they recommended that.
Do you have to go out to bid, or do you need to get together?
We probably will have to go out to bid, but I just want to give just a ballpark figure from them to begin with, just to get an idea of what we're asking.
Well, exactly. So you might want to get together also with Ron.
Yes, absolutely.
And so we can, let's not delay it more, so we can start and Ron and Martha, the account number, and Ron.
We'll get together.
If it's over 50,000,
right,
estimated, we'll have to go out for bid or use a person to walk.
Right, and then administration and do what you have to do.
Okay. Absolutely.
We'll get with me tomorrow, we'll look at it and see if they're on a co-op.
Yeah.
Okay.
So next meeting, will have quotes or do you want to quote?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be over 50,000, because if he's saying that they're getting him a quote, it doesn't do any good. If it's more than 50,000, they have to go through the bidding process.
If it's on a purchasing co-op,
if it is,
if we get the information by Tuesday, we could probably present to the board.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. They need to get together.
I'll have to make sure I get the three quotes.
If it is. Mm-hmm.
I'll get with Ron tomorrow morning.
Right. Right.
We'll do our best.
All righty. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Self-recommend.
is this, what are we looking at? It's just information tonight.
Item 2F, extension of achieved 3,000 licenses for summer school. Ms. Sanchez, Mr. Gatlin.
Madam Chair, committee members, Dr. Galvez. I placed before you tonight a small amount, it's only $1,500, but I just wanted to bring to your attention that in September, we did bring $47,000 of achieved 3,000 to the board for approval. And to avoid any confusion or anything that we're not trying to circumvent the bid process, this could be considered a component purchase. I've been working with the internal auditors, and we're making sure we're trying to keep track of these items like this. This item probably should have been budgeted for and planned for in the beginning of the year when we took the first portion to the board for approval. So that's why we're bringing it to your attention. I'll be working harder to make sure we try to avoid these. I'm going to be sending out letters to all the campuses and departments to notify them that they need to start planning and trying to combine these orders, you know, early in the year so we can take it all at the same time. So that's the only reason I brought it to you. I apologize. It's a minimal amount. I apologize for Ms. Sanchez for having to be here late tonight. But this is an item that I felt we needed your approval on. I want you to look at it.
I just have a question. This is only for high school.
Right.
Is it offered at the middle schools too?
Yes, it is.
And how come it is not, we're not extending it to this particular amount? I mean, there's nothing here about middle schools.
Because summer school, the dates for the middle school and the high school.
Did it overlap or did it?
The high school's going to be running a little bit longer.
July.
So
correct.
We need more
right.
time.
Okay, no problem. Rachel, any questions? Okay. I don't have a problem. Dr. Galavis?
So is this only for summer? June, July, August?
No.
Is this for?
This is for summer school. This
right.
is
just for the summer school day.
Yes, sir.
$1,500.
Isn't it a, is this only for summer or does it, is it like a...
Well, we'd like to continue to use it, but that would be...
For next year, you're planning to include this
for
amount?
For next year's budget. Right now, this is just for summer school.
Okay.
And this is in continuation of something we're already using.
According to the quote, it's good for subscription periods of July 1st to July 31st.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be a year term, no?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No,
so
it's just 1 month.
Well,
one
this
month?
One is
oh,
just
1 month. Oh,
for the,
thank you.
For the month, July. So we can finish the summer school.
Oh, wow.
The original portion for the rest of the year was $47,367.
Right, right. It was just an addition, like you mentioned. Okay. Okay. And next year, you'll have to include the ones for the summer. Okay.
What we'd like to do is try to budget for the whole
right.
summer.
Right. Include them in there.
Even if it's an estimate, we're going to bring it to you.
Well, but you can't. You can't because it also includes the next year's budget. It jumps into next year's budget. Yeah. Okay. I don't have a problem. No? Okay, recommend it to the full board. Dr. Galavis.
I would just like it noted that it's just for the month of July. A little more specific. I'm not worried. When you think of summer school, June and July. So just more specific that way. July 1 and July 3.
Martha, I just have a question. If you encumber, Martha Aguirre, I'm sorry. If you encumber a PO, and like on this particular one?
This is using Title I funds?
Yes.
Title I funds, the fiscal year goes through September 30th.
Okay.
So we're still with this, that current year.
Okay, so put an effect.
So that's
okay.
why it's allowed.
Okay, all right. Okay. Then we're okay. Okay, then recommend it to the full board as previously agreed.
Item 3, community input.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments, questions, concerns? No? Going once, twice? Okay.
Item 4, adjournment.
Aye.
Adjournment.
9:23.
Good job.
Thank you.
Bring me an extra one.
I remember. And I need people to address him. And I had just forgotten Officer Gomez.
Good night. I'm so glad.
If I send,
this one.
But all their texts, you know, shouldn't be a problem. They give us a good deal.